Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What a week we have got ahead of us here this week on this show and in Montana. Raise your hands if you're excited about President Trump coming back to Montana. Honk your horns. That's right. Honk your horns. There you go. I know. I can hear it right now. I can see it. People are like flashing their lights at me on Montana Avenue here. Anyway, great to be with you here on this Monday morning. Man, we got President Donald J. Trump coming up at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse Friday night. If you want to get ready for the Trump rally on Friday night, I'll tell you what. I just got back from Miles City. We had a bunch of great events in Miles City. Big thanks to Tammy Hall, the lovely Tammy Hall, for filling in on Friday's Montana Talks. I went and did some events in Miles City on these events paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We did an event at Tubbs and the Montana Bar on Thursday night. Got to meet with so many great folks. And then Friday morning, great event at the Main Street Grind Cafe right there on Main Street, Miles City. Then we were over at the Black Iron Grill in Miles City for lunchtime. Got to meet a bunch of great folks there. But if you want a Trump rally before the Trump rally, I'll tell you what, this brewery in Laurel, Montana, that's what we're going to be doing, an event there on Thursday night. And like for example, rented us some folks in Miles City that are going to be driving to Bozeman for the Trump rally, and they're driving over the night before, you know, so they can get in line early, et cetera. I said, well, if you're driving over to Bozeman from eastern Montana the night before, come join us at the big brewery in Laurel, because it doesn't get any more pro-Trump than the brewery in Laurel. I'll tell you more about that here later this morning and later in the week. But first, we've got Evelyn Pyburn with us from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, what's the good news here on this Monday morning? Great to have you.
Well, Yeah, it's good news, and it's a lot of news coming out of Northwestern Energy in the last few weeks. I don't know how many people have noticed this, but last week we reported that Northwestern Energy has completed building the Yellowstone County Generating Station in Laurel, which will generate 450 megawatts of power. And then there's the fact that at the beginning of next year, Northwestern Energy will assume ownership at no cost of Avista's units at Colstrip, which generate 222 megawatts. Well, now, just this week, Northwestern Energy announced that they will also be acquiring at no cost Puget Sound Energy's 370 megawatts of share of the Colstrip plant at the beginning of next year also. The acquisition of these two segments of Colstrip will give Northwestern Energy 55% ownership of Colstrip, which will allow the company to direct the future of Colstrip production more than they've been able to in the past.
Yeah, basically majority ownership now. Northwestern Energy will have a majority stake in Colstrip, in the coal-fired power plant there. Yeah, I agree. Great news. Evelyn Pyburn, hold that thought. Back after this.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
In our new state survey, several findings are consistent across the battlegrounds of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. For instance, in each state, most Democrats want Vice President Kamala Harris to replace President Joe Biden as their party's presidential nominee. In a hypothetical matchup against former President Donald Trump, support for Harris exceeds the level of backing Biden received in April. And for Trump, the amount of support he gets either matches or is higher than his vote share in 2020. That's how the race ends up tied or within 1 point in each of these crucial states. The economy is the top issue to twice as many voters as the next highest issues of immigration and abortion. All other issues lag those three. And in each state, Trump is preferred by wide margins among voters who say their top issue is the economy or immigration. Harris is widely favored among those prioritizing abortion. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Parade.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today. High temperature readings will reach around 90 in Bozeman, low 90s in the Billings area. For tonight, turning partly to mostly cloudy with a chance for some showers and storms developing. Low temperatures around 60. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for breaks of sun along with a chance for some scattered showers and storms. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And, yeah, I agree. Very good news. In fact, it's very likely right now listening in Butte. 1370 KXTL with us all morning here on Montana Talks, our friends in Butte. But there's very likelihood that some folks from the Northwestern Energy headquarters in Butte could be listening in on the show this morning. But Evelyn, I was in Miles City Friday morning and then afternoon as well. And one of my friends in Miles City came and joined us at a couple of the events. And he asked me a question. He said, hey, what do you think about this news about Colstrip and about Northwestern Energy now having a majority stake in Colstrip? And I said, well, it sounds like good news to me. I'd rather have a company in Butte and in South Dakota calling the shots for our friends in Colstrip than somebody in Portland or Seattle or San Francisco. So that alone is good news if you ask me.
Well, yes, and the fact that we're getting these facilities for no cost, I mean, what more could you hope for, you know? it's got to be a good deal, and I know that the Northwestern Energy officials are talking about having this kind of control, what they can do as they plan for Colstrip's future. It's a much better picture for Colstrip for sure. They have had discussions about what kinds of cleaner energy production can be planned for in the future, and you know, that's what Northwestern Energy officials are saying they want to have, want to be able to do. So, yeah, I think this is all really good news for Montana, for sure. And in addition, by the way, a week or so ago, Northwestern Energy also acquired a natural gas supplier in Great Falls. They are purchasing Energy West Montana for $39 million, and that has to be approved by the Montana Public Service Commission, but they would gain ownership of that also at the beginning of next year.
I thought it was interesting you reported on you know, Northwestern Energy and this acquisition and now having a majority, a 55% share of the Colstrip plant. That if they wanted to go out and buy another equivalent resource, that would cost them more than $700 million to build, and then wouldn't even be available to serve customers for at least 5 years. And now they've practically got it overnight, something that would have cost them $700 million to build and then would have had to wait for 5 years. That's a very interesting point that you made in the hot sheet.
Yeah, and also that means that they're not going to have to go out on the market and buy expensive energy when they reach, you know, peak demand periods and don't have enough energy. So, you know, I think this has to be a good deal all the way around.
You also, last week, I think, when you joined us on the show, you talked about how your great tour of the natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel, and for folks who missed it, we shared some of the information that Evelyn shared with us and some great photographs. So if you missed it, you can kind of get an inside look at the natural gas power plant in Laurel, thanks to Evelyn. That's on our Montana Talks website right now as well. Let's see. You were able to also attend last week the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research, their big kind of mid-year economic report and presentation. What was the biggest takeaway that you got from that? Maybe statewide first, and then some Billings specific stuff since you were there at the Billings presentation.
Well, yeah, it was really a very fascinating presentation and very positive. Dr. Pat Barkey, who heads the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, said that Montana's economy is not doing too badly. And then he said that Yellowstone County's economy grew like crazy over the past few months. And the reason for that is, well, he called it a Goldilocks recovery. And the reason for it is after several years of a lackluster performance because of the declining mining industry. And mining happens to be the most important industry to Yellowstone County, not because we have so many mines in the county, but because of the number of mines who headquarter in Billings. So as that industry increases and improves, it's helping Billings, as well as other market segments which are doing well in Billings. Probably one of the most alarming things that Barkey said during the presentation is that while the rate of inflation is fading, high prices are not going to fade. He said they are here to stay. So that was not good news. The seminar focused on the housing market in Montana, which Barkey called frozen. And he explained that the country has had a long period of low interest rates followed by high rates, which has prompted people who already own their homes to resist selling them because they don't want to assume the high interest rates. So that is freezing markets. And
makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. In fact, since he's calling the housing economy frozen, I wonder if somebody can have their daughter go sing the song "Let It Go" to the Federal Reserve. Stop with these interest rate hikes. In fact, maybe you need to lower these interest rates. You know, let it go, right? I'm not going to sing it. Maybe one of you guys can have your kids go sing that to the Federal Reserve. All right, very interesting information about this BBER mid-year update. We'll come back to that story right after this.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA's released its land values report for the price of farm and ranch real estate. The price has increased 5% overall from last year, averaging $4,170 per acre. Nationwide cropland values were up $250 per acre, or 4.7%. Valued at $5,570 an acre, while pasture land is up $90 per acre nationally from last year at $1,830 an acre. Now, surprisingly, Montana and Colorado saw a decrease in the price of their cropland values. Montana down 0.8% at $1,280 an acre, while pasture land in the Big Sky State up 0.9% at $890 an acre. In Wyoming, pasture land was up 0.4% this year at $740 an acre, while Wyoming's cropland value is up 1% at $1,960 an acre. Also, the Speer Livestock Video Auctions Video Royale sale last week marketed just under 180,000 head of cattle. The market trend, $2 to $6 lower than the week in the Rockies sale. Not a lot of Montana cattle selling, but the price for the 6 to 6.5 weight Montana steers, $2.83. I'm Lane Northlawn.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I like how Dr. Pat Barkey with the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research highlighted Yellowstone County growth, not necessarily Billings growth, because any of you who've talked with home builders, contractors, and others, they'll tell you, man, good luck trying to build something in the city. In fact, Evelyn, can I go off on a little rant here for just a second?
Sure.
So So, you know, our studios are in the top floor of the DoubleTree Hotel, downtown Billings, of course. And there was a City Brew down on the main floor. There was a Starbucks down on the main floor. They've had a few copies. But anyway, it sounds people are really excited. So I don't know if you've ever eaten at the Marble Table before. Incredible food, incredible place. The owners, very cool people. But they're starting like a marble coffee place, right? And anyway, it's like, when is it going to finally open? What I've been hearing from people is that, oh, yeah, they're like ready to go. But, you know, just dealing with the city. Let me be very clear. The owners did not say this to me. This is other folks who have said this to me, because I don't want the city to go get ticked off at the owners and then give them even more headaches. But to me, it's like, how stinking hard does it have to be to allow a coffee shop to get opened up in a place where they've already had several other coffee shops, but the city has all these stupid regulations? It takes forever just to get a business up and running.
And it takes forever to build a house, and that's the problem. I mean, it's just frustrating to me that over and over and over I read that everybody who studies the situation says over-regulation is the real reason for the fact that we don't have enough housing. And yet nobody wants to tackle that. Everybody, they can say this is the problem, but then they scurry away when you start suggesting that they eliminate a bunch of codes and make it so that builders want to build inside the city limits. I think that's a great measure of when you've got it right, because right now the builders will tell you that it's a nightmare to try to build anything in the city. And I've heard a lot of similar stories like what you're talking about, how they can drag it out or add ridiculous costs to something so that it becomes unfeasible to do. And it's one reason why downtown struggles so hard to be competitive, is because it's a different atmosphere, a different situation in trying to make existing buildings work for any project or meet their kind of, I would assume, a lot of my arbitrary codes that you have to do, rather than just say, you know, we'll make some improvements and go ahead and use the downtown, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you see this across the state where sometimes the town proper or the city proper can lean left or have a left-leaning city council, and then they make it so hard to build. And then what do? They push development further out into the farmland, further out into the country. Yeah. But like when you talked about the frozen housing markets. And, you know, I joked about somebody needs to send their daughter to go sing Let It Go from Frozen to the Federal Reserve when it comes to these crazy high interest rates. Well, maybe they need to go down to these, you know, city offices and say, let it go. And while they're at it, go to these liberal judges and these liberal justices who blocked the housing reforms passed by the Montana legislature and signed by Governor Gianforte, and go sing Let It Go to them, too. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the state legislature, although a lot of the codes are imposed locally by city governments, so, there's a lot of attention that needs to be given to what's happening right here in Billings, because, you know, they had that recode process a year or so ago, and I heard all kinds of comments that the people who know what the problems are, the builders, they're not listened to, and they target right on what the issues really are. And, you know, and when Barkey was talking about housing in Montana and what the solution is, he said, build houses, houses, houses. We have to build more housing. And
And by the way, if all they do is build more government housing, well, then the rest of us pay for that, and it keeps prices high for the rest of us, and it becomes another toll booth to the middle class. So that's not the answer either. Well said there. Let's see. I think our Fox News update might run here. We've been having some challenges here at the bottom of the hour. So I'll see if give me a few seconds here. Let's see if this Fox News update rolls for our listeners here. If not, we'll drive on. We'll drive on, or we'll come back to you in 60 seconds. Let's see if it rolls here. Stand by.
Hurricane Debbie's made landfall in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis.
This storm has produced and will likely produce significant flooding events from Sarasota, Bradenton area, all the way up to northern Florida.
And the storm is expected to stall over Georgia and South Carolina next, with flooding from potentially record-breaking rain in the forecast. President Biden meets with his national security team today about an expected attack by Iran against Israel.
The Wall Street Journal reports that Iran told U.S. and Arab diplomats it didn't care if its counterstrike led to war. Now, Jordan's foreign minister was in Iran yesterday for a meeting, and President Biden is scheduled to speak with Jordanian King Abdullah II, but there's been very little public Iranian interaction with those trying to avert a crisis.
Fox's Trey Yangst in Haifa, Israel. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, there we go. All right, thanks, Caden, for, he figured it out, why that was giving us a little bug there. So great job, our guest producer, Caden Bjornstad, here this morning. Great to have him here. Evelyn Pyburn, let's see, we got a message from you. Well, first off, if you don't mind joining us for a few more minutes, it's always great to have you. We had a message from Bruce in Ennis, who asked a good question when it comes to Northwestern Energy. And the increased ownership of Colstrip. He says, what is free and who is we when it comes to we got Colstrip for free, I think was kind of his question there.
Well, I look at it as being we the people, because we are totally dependent upon, in most cases, Colstrip, or not Colstrip, of a Northwestern Energy to keep us from freezing in the winter and bring us air conditioning in the summer. So, and if we're not, as consumers, we're not having to build these facilities, although I think there's remodeling, or what do you call it, updating that has to be done. But I think, from my understanding in these deals, that the original owners are still maintaining and still planning to do what they need to do to upgrade the facilities. But I think it just has to be a win-win for all of us. And I feel sorry for the people in Washington or whoever else these companies serve that are giving this facilities to Northwestern Energy, because they're, I mean, it's a boon to us, it's a huge loss for their customers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's all kinds of tax dollars and programs and stuff going on for Washington and other areas that are getting, that used to get this energy. But I can't believe that they're just giving it away, but apparently they are. And I think it's going to be a huge boon for everybody who depends on Northwestern Energy for power.
Yeah, you know, you think about those people that, let's take Washington State, for example. The majority of the state are normal, you know, everyday people, right? Farmers, ranchers, small business owners. But they are being run by mob rule right now. Seattle basically runs the entire state because they've got the majority, and so they just run it with an iron fist, and they run by mob rule. So everybody else in the rest of the state of Washington gets to lose out on cheaper, reliable power because the people who want to call J.D. Vance weird are the actual weirdos that run the city of Seattle. That are taking away reliable power from their own citizens in the name of their woke Green New Deal politics. Evelyn Pyburn, great reporting as always. Thanks so much for being with us here every Monday on Montana Talks. Phone lines are open for you right after this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz. There was an avalanche of negative media coverage when the Pentagon cut a deal with a mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and two of his accomplices, under which they would stay at Gitmo. They've been there for two decades. If they pleaded guilty, they would only get a life sentence and not face a trial where the outcome could be the death penalty. Families of 9/11 victims, New York City firefighters, the backlash was so great that you looked at it and you said to yourself, this could not stand. There's just no way. And so Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, the White House and President Biden had nothing to do with this, stepped in, withdrew the plea agreements, took over the case from a brigadier general. Why wasn't he involved from the beginning? Is this not one of the most important things going on in the world? I knew the coverage would mean that this would be over in a day. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
We first broke the news on our Montana Talks app that Donald J. Trump is hosting a Trump rally right here in Montana. That's right, Friday, August 9th. President Trump hosting a rally in Bozeman alongside Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy. We got the story on our Montana Talks website. In fact, we broke that news exclusively at MontanaTalks.com. That's why you got to get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. We've pretty much got the phone lines open from now until 9 a.m. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll kick off the show with the head of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Director Temple is going to join us on the show. And in fact, one of the stories that I want to talk with him about, we've got a couple of stories that we're going to chat with him about, but there was a headline last week, and we could have had a ton of fun talking about this story, but man, we had a ton of stuff to talk about last week, and I thought, ooh, let's save that one for next week. And so today it's going to be great to have the head of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks join us on the show. This was the headline: Montana wolf population strong despite increased harvest limits. Oh, you mean, God, this was a hard one to predict, huh? You mean all the fake news stories that we saw from all these liberal reporters? You know, they were pushing this total fear campaign. They were pushing this conspiracy theory style propaganda that if we allowed wolf hunting to continue, that it would decimate the wolf population. Now, some of you may wish it would do that, but we all knew that that wasn't going to happen because of the way these wolves repopulate. I mean, it's just crazy, right? How fast the wolf population can grow. And so, yeah, having this hunt is not going to decimate the wolf population. But see, these people want to call themselves scientists and run with this fake news fear propaganda campaign, because, you know, the fake news media is not only the mouthpiece for the Democrat Party, they're the mouthpiece for these radical environmental groups. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about in part coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Let's go to Jim in Billings next up on the phone lines. Jim, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, good morning. I'll make this quick. I had a few things, but in the interest of time, I'll make it just the one. Crook at the Trump rally in Butler, I've never fired an AR before, but my understanding is with that gun and the ammo they got these days, once he got that rifle sighted in, I heard he had been out of firing range before he went to the rally, so I'm assuming he had it sighted in. At that distance, 130-some-odd yards, I'm thinking that bullet's not going to drop much, if at all. What does he need a rangefinder for? It exposes him. And it's like if the main thing is you're being in fear of being detected, so why would you make it obvious? And it's like it's a movie prop, and he wasn't really scared. Like you had an ace in the hole, but you know, it didn't make no sense.
That's a good point about, yeah, why would you need a rangefinder? This shooter that committed this assassination attempt against President Trump was so close, he don't need a rangefinder. I mean, now maybe he thought he was going to have to get further back, but then once he realized how easy it was to sneak up on the former president of the United States because of the lack of security that Joe Biden's Secret Service director afforded him, figured, don't even need the rangefinder now. No, that's an interesting question you raise.
Well, I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling in, Jim. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I want to go back. I know we had, let's see, who was it earlier in the hour? Kevin in Billings. Wanted to give us a call and talk about Kamala Harris, but it was right when we were starting our back to business segment. So we told Kevin, hey, Kevin, call back in a little bit later in the hour. We'll have the phone lines open to all these other topics. But in the 6 o'clock hour, we talked a little bit about Kamala and her crazy policies. We shared the video clip where she claims that Bidenomics is working. And by the way, if you think Bidenomics is working, well, you don't buy your own groceries. You don't fill up your own gas tank. I mean, man, all sorts of stuff. But this is interesting. So right now, all of the speculation on the Democrat side of the aisle is who will Kamala Harris choose to be her running mate? Let's do a scene setter here first. Let's see who is on the short list, because I want to talk about Governor Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania here in a second. But who is on the short list? Let's start there.
One of the candidates long considered a frontrunner is Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania. The New York Times reports he remains close with former President Obama. But Shapiro is getting some blowback after some comments he made back in the 1990s resurfaced. It was an op-ed in college, and he wrote that the Palestinians do not have the capabilities to establish their own homeland and make it successful, even with the aid of Israel and the U.S. They are too battle-minded to be able to establish a peaceful homeland of their own. So that could complicate any support he'd have within the pro-Palestinian community. The eventual pick that Harris makes is going to be on the trail with her. They're going to be making stops all over the country.
All right. So yeah, there you go. That's a little bit of a scene setter. So they're saying that it could be Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania because the state of Pennsylvania is so important. They're saying it could be Governor Beshear. I think that's the guy out of Kentucky, right? But then do they lose the governor's mansion if they pick him? But back to Shapiro here for a second. So, yeah, in today's Democrat Party, you are not allowed to be very pro-Israel. And so the remarks that Josh Shapiro wrote in a college paper 30 years ago, I think it was, Charlie Hurt made this great point. I think he was on Fox News yesterday on the Big Weekend Show. While I was driving home from the lake this weekend, I was listening in to the Big Weekend Show, and Charlie Hurt made a great point. So they're saying that, well, Josh Shapiro, well, you know, he's Jewish, so that would complicate things. I mean, this is the state of the Democrat Party today. They're openly saying that, well, you know, she can't pick him because he's Jewish. That was a guy on CNN who said that. But listen to what Charlie Hurt had to say here. So they're saying, well, Josh Shapiro had these comments that he made in this college paper back in the 1990s. And so, oh, boy, that's going to really hurt him with, you know, the base of the Democrat Party. But the point Charlie Hurt makes is, wait a minute, the policies that he included in a college paper 30 years ago are no different than a lot of other Democrat policies on paper. So once again, they're still saying that he can't be on the ticket or that they don't want him on the ticket because he's Jewish.
What does it say about the Democrat Party that Governor Shapiro feels compelled to walk this statement back?
Well, I think it's the most glaring chapter in this long saga about the party's hand-wringing over the possibility that Kamala Harris would pick Josh Shapiro, again, because he's Jewish. And if you look at one thing that I think is kind of interesting, if you look at his record on Israel, is actually not all that different than a lot of the other Democrats that are under consideration. The only problem with Josh Shapiro is that he's Jewish. And the idea that this is where we are today, with the Democrat Party, on the one hand, as disgusting as it is, it is also kind of also really not really surprising when you consider the entire party has been built around this identity politics, where race and gender and religion are all that Democrats care about in politics. And it's very dangerous and it's very disgusting.
Yeah, no, it's such a great point there by Charlie Hurt. I'm glad I was listening to that yesterday because I wanted to be on the lookout for that very that very same soundbite for you here this morning. There was something else as I was driving back from the lake, something else. Kids were all asleep in the back, so luckily I was able to, maybe what I was listening to put them to sleep. Ah, who knows? Either way, good day out on the water. Whenever you get out, man, it's so great to get out on the pontoon. And just can't thank my friends at Brett's RV and Marine enough for, you know, all the memories that I'm able to create and have. But anyway, the other thing I listened to, I think it was J.D. Vance. He said, wait a minute, they're calling me weird? These people are calling me weird? That's something I got to share with you next. But, you know, Kamala Harris, I mean, you want to talk weird? Kamala Harris doesn't think you should be eating beef. She wants you to lower your red meat consumption. Look, you guys have heard Dr. Dale Williams on this show. If you want to be healthier, if you want to end childhood obesity epidemic and more, you've got to get more protein in your diet. You've got to get the ideal protein levels in your diet. That's what Billings Last Diet is all about, making sure that you get the ideal protein in your diet. And that's what helps you not only lose weight, burn fat, but maintain your muscle mass. And then keep that fat off for life with the lifestyle change that their coaches can help deliver for you. They've got a remote option now available. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com, whether you're in Butte, Bozeman, and, of course, in Billings. BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call, 294-6751.
This episode is brought to you by Lyft. Where are you going? It's the first thing you see in the Lyft app. Whether you're seeing besties or traveling solo, making career moves, or just a move to hang in the park, Lyft can help. With an on-time pickup promise for scheduled rides to the airport, extra comfort for more legroom, and wait and save when you're not in a rush. So no matter where you're going, choose Lyft and get more out of summer.
Fox News commentary.
Nearly 500,000 working age residents of this state cannot speak English proficiently. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Our country has been invaded by millions of illegal aliens. In just the 3.5 years we've suffered under Biden, the consequences of that invasion are far-reaching. Millions of illegals stress resources, infrastructure, schools, shelters, and more. And that's not all. They also require special accommodation due to the fact that many don't speak English. Take Massachusetts, for example. A study by the Massachusetts Institute for a New Commonwealth and the University of Massachusetts based on 2022 census data reveals 1/10 of the workforce in that state cannot speak English proficiently. The actual number is likely much higher now after nearly 2 more years of illegal immigration influx into that state and all states, and it's no small thing. Those who don't speak English proficiently require special accommodations and education, and that's not cheap. But this is just the tip of a very big iceberg. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You can build all the housing you want in, fill it any place in western Montana. It won't make any difference in price. Such sentiments are commonly voiced in plenty of conversations about housing. In fact, many people say that increased development increases housing prices. That skepticism about housing supply influencing prices fuels interest in policies like rent control that create more problems than they solve. Why do people feel this way? Perhaps it's because a lot of places with rising prices do have a lot of building as well. In other words, demand for housing is rising at the same time as supply. If demand is growing faster, you still get price growth. Another explanation is regulation. High-cost areas usually have high levels of regulation that make it harder to build. When a developer does break through the red tape to bring new units to the constrained market, it commands a high price. But it's regulation, not the construction itself, that produces this outcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by 511-511.
Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
All dogs are unique. Your dog results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines. If I run out of time to play this J.D. Vance audio for you, I'll play it coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Let's see. We got a caller out of Laurel. Is it Virginia out of Laurel? Thanks for the call.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, what's going on?
I was wanting to ask if, like, when Trump comes into town next Friday, if it's going to be on TV or not?
Good question. Will any of the local TV stations broadcast it live? They should. We should have it. But then again, I will also say I hope our radio stations will carry it live. But no guarantees there with pre-existing programming and contractual obligations, things like that. Now, if you have one of those smart TVs and you can get YouTube or some other things like that, I know RSBN, Right Side Broadcasting Network, RSBN will air the whole thing. Some of the others, like, is it OAN or Newsmax, they might carry Trump's speech, but they won't have all the speeches before that from, like, all of our Montana folks. So if somebody can hook you up with that option, I would recommend Right Side Broadcasting Network. I remember seeing them cover the Trump rallies in Montana back in 2018. Great question, though, and thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Jerry in Billings next up on the phone lines. Jerry, what's going on?
It's Gary. Oh,
Gary, that's right. All right, we got Caden's filling in for Travis, so he doesn't know your voice yet, but he'll soon know, won't he?
Yeah, and I just have to call in about this commercial that John Tester's running. I call it the bull coming out of Washington with Camellia and Tester. So it's just so ridiculous that they're running this commercial. And when they make that noise, I think you heard it, like a cow.
I've heard that commercial. It's got to be one of the dumbest commercials I've heard this whole cycle.
But it's kind of crazy that the bull is coming out of Washington with both of those people that are running, and it gets back to who is the biggest liar of all.
Who's lying more, Kamala Harris or John Tester? Who's flip-flopping more, Kamala Harris or John Tester, right? Great question, Gary. I asked Tim in Billings earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, as we were talking about the economy. I said, okay, is John Tester the senior advisor to Kamala Harris's campaign? Because you know, she is flip-flopping as much as John Tester flip-flops. She's been against fracking. Now she says she's not against it anymore because it's the election and she thinks she has a chance to win. And so, who is flip-flopping and lying more, John Tester or Kamala Harris? I mean, that could be an Olympic sport. I mean, somebody's going to fall down on the crossbeams on that one. I'll tell you what, Gary, great question. And speaking of the bull coming out of Washington, John Tester is so crazy liberal. He supports this radical transgender agenda. He wants to turn little boys into little girls. Bulls into steers. That's the type of BS coming out of the bull coming out of John Tester. Painful to see what's happened to this country under his watch. Well, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to pain, especially if you're dealing with arthritis. You get that bone-on-bone constant pain.
And, you know, hey, it might be summertime. You want to go out and enjoy the lake or take a hike or whatever, but you've just got that pain in your hips or the pain in your back or the pain in your knees. And I get it. You're trying to dodge surgery. And if you can, even the surgeons will tell you, if you don't have to get surgery, don't get surgery. Sometimes you got to. But if you can dodge surgery, great. Plus, if you can stay off those painkiller drugs, that's another great benefit. Well, let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They specialized in regenerative medicine, where they help your body heal naturally with exciting new cellular therapies. You can call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. Check out these numbers. Windmills are 4,000 times more dangerous to the environment than plastic straws. That story, MontanaTalks.com.